From Homestand Sports, this is Day Games. Day Games wants to thank our sponsor, HelloFresh. Forget takeout, HelloFresh delivers all the ingredients for delicious, healthy meals anyone can prepare at home in less than 30 minutes. Go to HelloFresh.ca and use promo code ANTIKA50 to get 50% off your first order. HelloFresh is on a mission to bring cooking back into our lives, with real, whole ingredients that are healthier and we can feel good about. They do all the shopping, planning, and deliver step-by-step recipes and their ingredients so we can relax and enjoy all there is to love about cooking. They plan, they shop, you cook. Go to HelloFresh.ca and use ANTIKA50 to get 50% off your first box. Hello and welcome to Day Games. Day Games is a podcast where we speak to people that work in and around professional baseball in an effort to better understand the daily lives of those working in the game that we all love. We'll be asking them what it takes to do their jobs day in and day out, and the different challenges that exist in working in different parts of the baseball world. My name is Mike Son, and I'll be your host. During my day job, I work as an ergonomist, a scientist who studies how people work. In my spare time, I write about how muscle fatigue influences baseball pitchers. My goal is to talk to those who work in baseball, find out how they got into their jobs, and how they solve their everyday problems and excel in their roles. Today's guest on Day Games is Andrew Stokely. Andrew is the production sound mixer, or the A1, for the majority of Rogers Sportsnet Toronto Blue Jays broadcasts. Andrew has been working in the soundboards for nearly two decades, covering baseball in Canada. I was able to ask Andrew what it's like to cover Canada's team from a truck filled with wires, and how he helps to paint a vivid picture of life between the baselines using only your ears. Andrew, welcome on Day Games.
Thanks, Mike.
Working at the Rogers Centre for a home game, what does your entire day of work look like when you're at the audio truck and doing that production of the audio for a Blue Jays telecast?
Sure. So typically, because baseball is multi-day events, we have a setup day that includes a game, and then after that it's cuddling, shampooing your hair, it's rinse, lather, repeat, because we could be there for 9, 10, 11 days. So our setup day, usually we're in for, well, last year was a little different because of the 4K situation. So the trucks were in a lot earlier because there was a lot of interconnectivity between the two trucks for engineers. But typically, myself and my two, what are called A2s, audio assistants, we're in for about 1 o'clock in the afternoon for a 7 o'clock game. And we proceed to set up for the game. Luckily with baseball, we use the same truck. So normally I would have what's called a console file, and I'd have an intercom file, which I would load. And then we would, I would build the truck. The truck shows up with nothing patched. So I'm basically taking cables and patching them from mic preamps to wherever they're showing up to on the patch bay, as well as patching the truck itself to the interconnect room, which then feeds all the bulkheads in the Rogers Center. And then my two guys basically go out and put everything out on the field of play for me. So microphones, effects mics, intercom drops, all that stuff, they look after putting everything out on the field while I deal with everything inside the truck.
So it's a lot of extension cords is what you're saying.
Yeah. In audio, we use things called DT12s, at least in North America. And they are, I don't know, 2-inch, 2.5-inch thick cables that have 12 XLRs, if you will, in each cable. And I use 7 of those for baseball. And they go into the interconnect room, and I feed the house. In television, the home show is always responsible for providing the effects microphone mix for the visiting TV truck. Or in some cases, if National comes in, like if ESPN came in or TBS came in, they would usually take the home show's effects mics mix for that. And then they would add or subtract if they didn't want a certain things. Usually they would add more crowd mics if they were doing 5.1 or other stuff. There's just, and, or if they had like some, you know, the A1 makes that decision really about what they want in their mix. So that's kind of what we do. It takes about The two guys I have with me have been doing it for the past, well, the one gentleman's been doing it since the 1990 season. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah, so he's seen it all. He's seen the ups. He's seen the downs.
A lot of downs,
yeah. As he liked to say, he saw a lot of bad baseball. And the other gentleman who's been with me has been about 5 years. So we have it down to a pretty fine art. It takes us about, if we're in right at 1 o'clock, we can be up in what's called FACS'd, F-A-C-S, so in television, like a facilities check, we call it. We can be up in FACS'd by about 3:30. Because then I have a production meeting. That's when Doug Walton, our producer, and Troy Clare, our director, get together with Buck and Tabby and the rest of the production crew, or Dan if he's there that day. They come and have their meeting about what they want to talk about on the broadcast. And I like to sit on there in case something's different, if we have any guests. Honestly, it's my favorite part of the day because of just listening to them talk baseball. I've never been a huge baseball fan. I'm not really a big sports fan, but I could sit for hours listening to them talk about what they are both, all of them are super passionate about. And then we go for lunch, and then about usually around 5:30 is when I come back to the truck and I start to line up with Sportsnet. We do our lineup, so we'll make sure our signals are okay, dial into phone numbers, and then we start doing news hits around 6 o'clock, and then game times at 7. And then, you know, as baseball, we could be there 2.5 hours, we could be there 6.5 hours, who knows.
So how did you get involved in working with baseball and doing the audio mix for baseball games?
I started in television when I graduated from Ryerson in 94. I went to school to do radio. I worked at this little radio station called CFNY, or The Edge, as
I know
now.
That from, yeah, I was going to say, I hear CFNY all the time in the car.
Yeah.
102.1, The Edge.
So I grew up in Brampton, and I grew up a 10-minute bike ride from the station. As luck would have it, I ended up getting a job there working in the music department as a teen, worked there till 94, finished Ryerson in 94, realized I didn't want to do radio. And, a friend of mine was working at the CBC and said, "Hey, we need some technical people. Can I give you?" And I said, "Yeah, sure." And I spent almost 8 years at the CBC, worked on Hockey Night for 14 years as a TVA slash A2. And then I took a job mixing at BNN. And in 2007, I wanted to go fully freelance and get back into truck mobile work. And so I did that. And in 2008, 2009 is when I made the full transition to fully mixing. And so what happened is in 2009, I think it was, TSN, it was 2009, 2010, I can't remember. It's when TSN got the full contract for CFL football, and they were expanding all the games. And so the gentleman who was doing the baseball at the time wanted to do more football. And I had been training with him, and it was just kind of, here you go. Almost a right place at the right time situation. And since I'd been doing it on and off with him for about a year previously, they just said, "Would you like to do this?" And I said, "Sure." And honestly, that's what it was, you know. And I've been doing that ever since, every summer.
With a live thing like sports, it is what it is. What are some of the nuances of baseball in particular that you've really come to enjoy? You know, maybe not coming from the background of being a real sports fan,
yep,
but just something as an audio engineer, what's something you've really enjoyed about working with baseball?
What I love and is the dynamic range of baseball. So, and what I mean by the dynamic range, if you've ever listened to a hockey mix, which, you know, I played hockey for 30 plus years. I love playing the sport, but I don't like mixing it. I find everything is at this level. You hear the sticks at this level. You hear skate blades at this level. You hear the audience or the crowd at this level. You hear the PA, you know, at this level. There's no nuances in the dynamic range of the mix. In baseball, you could have long stretches of time where it's very quiet, right? It's basically just the batter, the pitcher, and that's about it. Either the crowd is out getting a hot dog or they're drinking beer or whatever, you know, 50,000 people in a stadium, even somewhat quiet, is still going to sound quiet as opposed to 18 or 19,000 people in a hockey arena with a closed roof. The best way to describe or listen to that is if you listen to one of my mixes with the roof open versus the roof closed, it's completely different. And that's just because you have a closed roof with more reverberations. You have a sound that's deadened because of the roof. The city doesn't come into the mix. That's what I love. Sometimes if you're hearing it, I mean, I love when the air show's on because you hear the jets over, you know, mix. Or you can hear streetcars on King Street sometimes, right? That dish acts as a giant, or the dome acts as a giant parabolic dish, right? The sounds from the city come into that and get captured. So that's what I love. I love the sound, the crowd, you know, the crowd could be quiet and then something happens and the crowd, and you can hear it. You can, if the Jays are losing or whatever, or whoever's losing, you can hear it here. And then when they start to come back, that murmur can be picked up and can increase. Where hockey, I find you don't have that. It's just one general level. So that's what I like, especially with, and curling too. I mean, you know, but baseball, that's what I love about it.
Now, I'll admit, I've probably listened to your work a lot more in depth than maybe a lot of people, because on the MLB.TV app, you can select audio feeds and you can just choose game day audio.
Oh, really?
And that's pretty much the way that I normally listen to games when I'm at home.
Interesting.
So I'll do that. And then, you know, you should be writing or reading or something, and I've got the game on, and it's just the game day sounds. So I totally understand what you're saying about, you know, the huge dynamic range of things. And, you know, it's almost like reading as opposed to watching TV. When you just hear the game day sounds yourself, you can kind of, you know, convey your own emotion along with the game, as opposed to having a commentator go over top of it.
Yeah. I mean, it's, and if you listen to it without my announcers, you know, and me personally, I mean, I love Bug and Tabby, you know, I will defend them to the day. They are two of the most amazing, fantastic humans you'll ever meet. Who you see on air is who they are. They are the nicest gentlemen, you know, and so I take great pride in, you know, presenting them along with the mix. You know, some people, there's different A1s have different philosophies. You know, when we get tech recs from other broadcasters, right, that there's always, you know, there's a section on what they want, where they want drops and so forth, how many headsets they want, do they want mics? But usually they always say effects mics, and then it'll say as per the A1. So, you know, a lot of the time, unless producers have something specific that they want, they're letting us make those decisions about where we want microphones to capture the sound. I'll give you a quick idea of what I do. So in baseball, at the Rogers Center, I have two parabolic dishes that sit right behind home plate. You've probably seen them. They're the ones with the logos on them. It has the Blue Jays or the Nike logos or whoever. Yeah. So those are two mics that sit right behind, and they're the ones that capture all the back cracks and any of the shenanigans that go on behind home plate. I have two long shotguns on our two cameras that are at first and third. So the swing camera that you see, I have a microphone on that. I have a microphone on camera one, which is in the Jays dugout along third base. I have two parabolic dishes that sit in those stands, in the walls at third base and first base, that catch, we call them pickoff mics. So to hear the first base pitch or throw over, or the third base or whatever. I have two microphones that catch the sound in the bullpens. And then I have a series of microphones that I use in the building for crowd mics. I have a stereo pair that comes out of the booth. I have two microphones, stereo pairs on what are called high third and high first. And then I also have a stereo pair that's out on camera five, which is the camera view from behind the pitcher looking into the plate. And that picks up you know, a good surround mix, if you will, for the building.
In terms of on-field performance, has there been anything that in the past, since you've been doing this job, has maybe a story or something like that that really jumps out when you think about candid things you've captured in your truck during a baseball game?
Well, you know what the biggest thing is for me, or for our show, is the crowd. You know, we've gone from games in 2008, 2009, where you had 7,000, 6,000, 8,000 people on a Tuesday night in April. It's really tough to make a 50,000 seat venue sound good with only 6,000 people in the stands. And so having the crowd back, it's been fantastic. You know, it's really hard now. You no longer, there used to be a kid who would sit in the stands and just scream. Now, when you've only got 10 or 12,000 people in there, that's coming through, right? There's nothing I can do other than killing the microphone, which in some cases I do.
It's like that guy in Tampa Bay that spends the whole game heckling, and all you hear is this guy's heckling and yelling.
Okay, and I've done games in Tampa, and the first time I did it, the home show A1 warned me about him because he sits right beside the single parabolic dish that Tampa puts out. They only put one microphone, and he sits like four seats away, and it was relentless. It was beyond infuriating because here I am trying to do something, and I couldn't do it. I couldn't do my way because of this person just screaming the whole time. So it sucked. I'm trying to think if there's anything that really.
How about any good dust ups between batter and umpire after argued strike calls or anything like that?
I do get some good, again, there at that point. Once it starts to get a little too heated, that's when I'll kind of pull back. But that swing camera that I've talked about, that really gets that nice low angle of the umpire coming, looking into the visitor's dugout. When he gets close, that mic really picks up some great sound. That's about it. But again, the problem is the crowd. Once the crowd reaches a certain point, then I have to pull those other mics out because the sound just collapses into those mics and it just gets washed out. It's just a cacophony of sound. So as my mentor, Howard Bagley, says to me, he says, Andrew, the job's called mixing, right? So you are mixing a series of microphones to create that sound. And sometimes you have to take mics out and sometimes you have to put mics in. So that's kind of it. I'm trying to think. I haven't had any in baseball that I can really remember. I've had a few in curling that have been pretty funny over the years, but baseball, other than, you know, players just, I do remember once there was, was it not Melky Cabrera? It was a guy from Tampa a few years ago. And so where they stand when the guy's in the batter's box and then the guys are in the warm-up position on the visiting side, they have those little, you know, the little plastic dishes, the circles that they put out, and they're supposed to stand in that area and swing and whatever. And I kept hearing this talking, and I couldn't, because I can't see the camera, right? The camera that I see, I don't get to see the whole field. I only get to see kind of what you guys see at home and maybe one camera or whatever, but I wasn't seeing it. And I couldn't understand what it was. Well, it turned out it was this player was talking to one of the girls in the front rows, and it was close enough to one of the dishes that he was picking up. I couldn't really hear the conversation, but it was enough to start driving me bonkers because I couldn't figure out A, what they were saying, and B, where it was coming from. But I could hear it in my mix, and no matter what I was pulling out, other than the two back crack mics, so you know, stuff like that kind of throws me for a loop the odd time.
So what you're saying is that you inadvertently got someone in the front row's phone number on behalf of Cabrera from, good.
It could have been. Yeah. So, I mean, I think that because those people are all down there, those people who sit in the action seats, or they're called the inaction seats or whatever. I think they're pretty much all season's ticket holders. So the, you know, there's diehards there. There are people there that I see every game, you know, every game they're there.
Like Geddy Lee.
Yeah, he was there a lot this year. He sits there with his scorebook, and he doesn't have like just the day. He doesn't have the magazine, right? The Jays program. Like, he's got a real scorebook that he sits there and, you know, keeps score. It's great.
Have you ever run into any like monumental technical issues during a game, and how did you fix those if they did come up?
We lost power in the something happened last year or the year before where the it was this year. Yeah, it was last year in the 4K. There's stuff that just happens, right? We lost power to the truck. You know, one of the breakers at the building, for whatever reason, gave up the ghost. It happens. You try to get the you cross your fingers that your file's saved, and you hope that it all comes back. And when it comes back up right, and you can get right back on air. I've had mics cut, the cable physically cut. I've had instances where I went to air with only two microphones out of normally would be maybe 15 or 16, due to issues, let's just say. You do your best. It used to really, I would get really super nervous, and I still do. I mean, you know, I want to do a good job, right? I want it to go well. I look at it three ways, or maybe four ways, if I've had a successful show. One, was talent happy, right? The way I create things, what you guys hear at home, what the viewer, listener at home hears, is completely different to say what Buck and Tabby hear in their headset, or even what the truck hears, or what the camera guys. I build custom mixes for the camera guys. I build custom mixes for other people in the truck. I build a custom mix for Buck. I build a custom mix for Tabby. I build custom mixes for Barry or Hazel or whoever our sideline person is. And what they're hearing is completely different to what you're hearing at home. So I always look at it this way. Do we have any technical snafus? No? Okay, good. Two, was the talent happy? If they were happy with how things sounded, then that's one thing they don't have to worry about. Was the producer happy? Did I bring the music in when they wanted it? Did I make sure I didn't screw up that hit that we were supposed to do with Barry or Hazel in the third? Was the director happy? Could the director hear everything that they needed to hear? And then was I happy? You know, I'm probably my biggest critique or criticizer, if you will, critique. You know, I can be harder on myself if I think I've screwed up on the mix. Like if I brought music in too early, or if I missed something. I hate missing a pitch. That's the one thing I hate, is I hate missing when the pitcher throws and I've missed the bat hitting the ball. That's the one that drives me bonkers. And it happens sometimes if I'm distracted because somebody's asked me to do something and I have to, I'm, you know, because when I'm in the truck, I'm listening to the producer, the director, I'm listening to my A2s, I'm listening to master control, I'm listening to Buck, Tabby, not only on their on-air stuff, but if they want to talk to tape on talkback, what's called talkback, I'm listening to Barry or Hazel request something. So, you know, at some point I could have, in baseball, I could have 8 to 10 people talking all at once, and I've got to filter that out.
Now, how many people are on your audio team to deliver a Jays game?
There's three of us, just three in total. So there's me, and then I have the two guys. One guy works up in the booth, who looks after Buck and Tabby, and any of the booth stuff. And then I have a guy who works on the field who looks after Hazel or Barry. And any issues or problems that might arise on the field.
Now, you mentioned a couple of times now the transition to the 4K broadcasts. Over the years since you've been working, how have those changes in technology, like the one going just to high definition and now going to the 4K, how has that changed your preparation and your execution of your job?
There weren't many changes. The biggest change in audio was going from stereo to 5.1. That really was the biggest one. And the video, on the video side, when productions went to HD, because of video processing, it's all about delay. And that was the same issue we had with the 4K, is figuring out where's the delay happening, where in the chain is the delay happening. And I think by the end of it, we were pretty good. I know we did, I think in game 76, we found like a third back channel of one of the EVS machines, one of the tape machines. We found some delay, and I was like, really, this is game 76 and we haven't found that? But it was very minor, you know. I was happy with it. I thought there was going to be a lot more issues than there were. But I think we were pretty solid in figuring those out within the first week or 2 weeks of the broadcast. Again, you know, there's really not much until, for whatever reason, baseball decided to go to a Dolby Atmos system, you know, and honestly, I don't know how they would do that, because the way the building is there's nothing, once the roof's open, there's nothing that you could hang microphones from to catch that above sound. So I don't know how that would be. I'd have to talk with some higher ups who are more technically inclined, shall we say? Because I know they did the Grey Cup. They did the Grey Cup this year in Dolby Atmos, or they did it last year in Dolby Atmos as well. But at BMO Field this year, they were able to hang microphones from, like, they have the cable cam microphone, and they were able to hang crowd mics from above the overhang. To get that sound.
You had mentioned, and we talked briefly about some of the things you may have overheard. Do all of your audio channels get saved after the game, or is it just your final mix that gets saved?
It's just the final mix. So
okay. I'm thinking, like, you know, in some of these situations where the umpire says, well, this guy said this to me, were you ever being asked for, like, forensic evidence to kind of figure out what might have been said?
Well, what happens is, I mean, our feeds are... everything's sent back to Major League Baseball now too, right? So they get what's called my program mix. They get what's called my IS mix, so the international sound. That's what you're hearing on MLB game day, just the park sounds and NAT sounds. So they get all that. So I don't, if they have requested, they haven't come to us in the truck. They've either gone to Rogers themselves, or they had it archived. I'm trying to think. I know there have been some instances in hockey and stuff like that, but on baseball, our stuff, basically what's called, there's a melt, and that is what the tape guys put together at the end of every show that has all the highlights from that game. And they would have, there's four channels of audio on those tapes, two channels, left-right stereo mix and the left-right stereo IS mix.
So last question for you here. Is there anything about your job that somebody would never guess that you'd be responsible for doing as the audio mixer?
I think a lot of people are shocked when they come in for tours and stuff like that, because we do a lot of tours. I don't think people realize that we're also responsible for all the communications in the truck. So all the intercom. So how the truck communicates with each other and other trucks and other places, I'm also responsible for that. So on top of my normal mixing job, I'm also looking after how the camera guys hear the producer, the camera guys hear the director hears whoever, or the tape guys want to hear video, or the engineer wants to hear whatever. And with baseball, we interface to the Rogers Center as well. We interface to Jumbotron. So our producer Doug might want to talk to the producer upstairs in Jumbo Control, or vice versa. If, like, for example, when we're doing we're taking or feeding, covering the opening day ceremonies or July 1st Canada Day ceremonies, you know, production upstairs, it's their show, but we're kind of covering it, but they're kind of running it at that point. The two producers want to be able to interact, and they take my feed. I talked to Tom Young, who's the producer for Blue Jays on the Fan 590. There's another one. I create a custom sound mix for him that only he takes. That's just a radio mix, and that's a standard with television. Like, for example, with Tom only wants to hear the back cracks, right? He doesn't want to hear the pitcher throwing it over to first base. He doesn't want to hear the bullpens because you can't see that on radio. So he just wants to hear that bat on ball sound. And so I create a custom mix for him that he then adds to the Fan 590's soundtrack.
So it sounds like you are the epitome of kind of the middle manager between about 50 people and the sound. You're right stuck in the middle of it all.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's a senior position in the truck, if you will. Besides the technical director, I have this saying on my email, and I've used it for 25 years, and it's just I always say nobody cares about audio until they can't hear it.
That's very, very true. It's when the sound drops out when you're watching a baseball game, you notice it right away.
Well, as I always like to say, because a lot of people say, oh, but you know, a picture's worth 1,000 words. Absolutely. But I always go, okay, do this experiment. Especially if I'm doing like a guest lecture at a school or whatever, or university, and I'm talking about audio to TV students, I'll go home, turn on a TV show or a movie that you've never watched before. That's the key, that you've never watched. You're coming in cold and blind to it. Start watching it for maybe 10 or 15 minutes. Get into it. Enjoy it, right? And then turn the video off. Just have the sound. See how long you'll actually stay with that program. You'll continue to enjoy it. And then vice versa, after you've come back, turn back on, listen to both, and then turn the audio off and see how long you wait until you've got the trigger finger and you want to change it because you can't hear it. And I bet you dollars to donuts, you're going to stay with that program longer if you're hearing it than you would if you couldn't see it.
Yeah, no, I can totally relate to that. Well, Andrew, thank you very much for being on Day Games. Very interesting perspective into some of the production aspects of baseball. The amount of multitasking you must have to do is absolutely mind-blowing. Thank you so much. I know you've got a lot of curling in that going on right now. It seems like the mixing never stops. So thanks again for being on Day Games.
Hey, my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Andrew didn't go to school for a career in broadcasting live sporting events, but now he plays a vital role in the enjoyment of baseball games. For all of the listeners who have access to MLB TV, give it a try the next time you're listening. Instead of listening to the broadcasters, select park sounds from the audio menu. It's amazing the types of emotions you can pick up from just listening to the sounds of ball on bat and cleats on grass. Creative careers are difficult to manage, but Andrew has found himself a niche market in live sports audio mixing, and he's excelling in his role. Day Games was brought to you by HelloFresh, delicious, healthy food delivered for you to make in your own kitchen. Use the promo code ANTIKA50 for 50% off your first box, courtesy of your friends here at the Antica Podcast Network and HelloFresh. Day Games is executive produced by me, Dr. Mike Son, and Nick Dyka, with support from Kevin Kennedy and technical production by Natalie Stoberman.